This ties into my part two of my message on health. I was going to talk about what we eat and staying healthy. And God has told us what he's given us for food. I mentioned that last time. He told us, you know, instructions of what the clean and the unclean meats are, and also what the seed-bearing plants and the herb-bearing seeds and so forth and the fruits. And yet, like I mentioned last time, 50 years ago, we were all concerned, is there any lard in the Nabisco cracker? But we can wolf down a blueberry Pop-Tart that had no lard in it, but 17 chemicals you couldn't pronounce and no food value, and wash it down with Tang or Sunny Delight or something. You know, it was craziness, but we looked at the negative, but not what the positive. So God tells us what we should eat, and we didn't care about that. And we talked about all the chemical additives in the processed foods we're eating. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the average American today consumes anywhere from 150 to 170 pounds of sugar a year. That's getting close to almost a half a pound a day. Look at your label on your peanut butter, your ketchup, your soups, your everything. It's in everything. Sugar, high fructose corn syrup. It's in there. So it's craziness with what's happening. And there's consequences for all the chemicals and pesticides and all the things we've been ingesting that's non-nutritious food, our sedentary lifestyle in today's society. I mentioned in July of last year, the Centers for Disease Control warned that right now, 100 million American adults are either diabetic or pre-diabetic. And they said back then, within 5 years, the 84 million who are pre-diabetic will be full-blown type 2 diabetes. That's every other adult American in about 4 years will be taking insulin shots. That's crazy. This is something that has not happened in our history as a country and in our lives, to have something like that, and we've got to face that. We've got to face that. The crisis that's occurring can be avoided by what we're eating and looking more to what God intended us to be eating and not pushed by the factory farms and the food industry. Today we're going to look at another food for thought. You know, last time I read from Deuteronomy 22:10 and 25:4, how God didn't want the animals to be unequally yoked. You know, you don't put an ox and a donkey together. One will be straining, and you also don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. And you got to ask yourself, why is that? Why did he say that? Was he concerned about the suffering animals? What was happening? Jesus talked about how if an ox falls in the ditch on the Sabbath day, what do? You leave him there to suffer? No. You'd get your ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath day because you don't want the animal to suffer. And on the Sabbath day, when you look at Exodus 23, verse 12, it says, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest. It wasn't just you that was resting, it was your ox and your donkey were also resting. Proverbs 12:10 says, a righteous man regards the life of his animal. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Righteous man looks after his animals, his livestock. The holy men in the Bible that we read about a few weeks ago in Hebrews 11, Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all cattlemen. They raised herds and flocks. So did David. David, you know, raised sheep. And you read what David said. He wrote the 23rd Psalm saying, the Lord is my shepherd, you know, and he talked about leads me into green pastures besides the still waters and anointing my head with oil and the tender love of the shepherd for the sheep. And Jesus talks about how I am the good shepherd and my sheep hear my voice. And there was a liking and a taking care of the animals that was important to God. Today in the 21st century, there are some fine ranchers who do raise their cattle in pastures green. They're grass-fed beef. They're concerned about how the cattle are treated and the slaughter process, where they go to, and how the animals are treated. But there's also way too many factory farms, factory warehouses, where the cattle aren't grass-fed. They're on giant feedlots. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be shocked to see cattle. Some of them have their horns burned off. Some of them they're in feedlots, standing ankle deep in their own feces, being fed corn silage, GMO corn and grain to fatten them up for the slaughter. And it's an untenable life that they lived. It was terrible. Although it's now outlawed in California, in other parts of the country, many of the cows for milk production are given RSBT hormones, growth hormones, huge udders. Their legs are spread apart. They can hardly, you know, it's totally untenable for the animal, but it produces more milk, and what's good for the bottom line, that's what we've got to do. And all these warehouses are like assembly plants. Let's get the meat, get them out, feed them, fatten them up. We got to make it to the bottom line to make sure we get a big profit for the corporation. And factory farms have taken over. Back in since the year 2000, around 30,000 dairy farms in the U.S. have closed. Now huge factory farms have taken over with sometimes thousands or more of thousands of cows in these large processing places. The terrible conditions the cattle are used for meat production, the way they live, it means many of them are diseased. They're being treated with antibiotics some are being resistant to the bacteria, and that's affecting us as humans as far as these strains of bacteria that are coming from these animals. But they need to keep them alive, get them to the slaughterhouse. According to the USDA, their National Animal Health Maintenance, the USDA, now listen to this, 62% of all the cattle in the state of California have bovine leukemia. 62% have bovine leukemia, and it's been that way for decades. I talked to my neighbor back in the 90s. At that time, the number wasn't 62%, it was 60% had bovine leukemia. I told her that. She says, oh, that can't be. And she came back a few days later. She said, you know, I talked to my veterinarian. He just moved up here from Reno. He disagrees with you. He thinks it's closer to 90%. It's 5 to 7% of them have cancerous tumors growing inside. You know, how are these animals being treated? Does anybody care? It's terrible. It's terrible. Many are suffering internally because God did not create clean meats, the ones that part the hoof and chew the cud, to be eating a bunch of corn, silage, and grain, or standing ankle deep on their own feces in these huge feedlots. And a lot of states outlaw, you cannot be driving down the highway and take a picture of their feedlot. It's against the law, state law. And guess which lobbyists control the state legislature? But it's against the law to take a picture of the feedlots. You can't go into the chicken farms either. I mean, here in the United States, we consume 9 billion chickens a year. That's a 1,400% increase since the 1950s. And the number of growers has plummeted by 98%. Today, just a handful of large corporations control the entire chicken production in the United States. You can't just grow your own. It's huge barns. I don't call them barns. I call them huge warehouses. In the 49-day life cycle, most of the chickens never see the light of day. 10,000 stuffed into this warehouse. Huge fans on the inside, outside, blowing so the ammonia does not suffocate them from all the feces they're living in. A lot of times the little chicks are given little growth hormones so they develop huge breasts and they can hardly walk around or flap their wings or anything. They're just there. You know, and you can buy cage-free and free-roaming, but sometimes those are just, the doors open a little bit so a 10-square-foot patio, they can go out if they want to, but by and large, most of them never see the light of day. And it's cruel. Some of those chickens, they tried to get on Noah's Ark, they'd never make it up the plank because they can't move. But they're finger-licking good when you go to the fast food place because that's what we want. And it's sad as we can look at a package of hamburger in the nice cellophane at the supermarket and, oh, wow, of course, there might be 100 or more cows in that one package because of the way they grind the beef at these central locations or how the chickens are treated. We just look at the nice chicken breast. I buy it at the store in the supermarket, and, well, that's just the way it comes. It's cheap. It's only so many, a dollar something a pound, and that's the cheapest one. I think I'll buy that one. But we realize, man, the animals, the way they've been treated, the way they've been diseased, the way these large factory farms are trying to make a profit, it's just not right. And there's health implications from the food that we eat, and that includes the meat that we eat. And just a little bit of food for thought for us You might think of trying to consume less meat and poultry and eat more of a plant-based diet with fruit, vegetables, legumes, beans, nuts, and seeds. Now, I didn't say become a vegetarian. I say vegetarian is an old Cherokee Indian word that means can't hunt. No, no, it's not. But when you do eat pasture-raised eggs and grass-fed beef, it is more expensive. So I find myself eating one egg instead of two, or smaller portions of the red meat. But actually, eating less meat and more plant-based is better for you anyway. Yeah, there are parts of the world where breast cancer is virtually unheard of. No one gets breast cancer, prostate cancer. You know, Parkinson's, you know, and when you look around the world of where these pockets are, where these people are living, most of them are on a plant-based diet. They're eating some wild game, but by and large, it's more plant-based. They did a number of years ago, there's a book called The China Study, where the premier of China, a Chinese Chairman Lai, he commissioned to study all over China what they were eating and what happened. And yeah. It turned out to be those places with a Western diet, they were the one getting the cancers and the diseases. Those who were eating the plant-based diet, they were not. It's just, and then when the people from China who were eating the plant-based diets moved to Singapore, Hong Kong, or Hawaii, or started eating a Western diet, then those diseases started coming up in their families again. There's just something wrong with what we're eating, and we should be consuming a lot less meat and a lot more of the plant-based, although I also eat wild salmon too. That wild salmon is good for you. And there's good cattle ranch co-ops that let the herds graze on grass, like I said. And the other ones I like to call the Hirelings Incorporated. They care not for the sheep. Most time the lamb is good, though. I got to say that, because you drive up I-5 in Oregon, they're all on green pastures, green. Lamb, New Zealand, they eat grass, but it's mainly the cattle. They're in these large feedlots that are bad. But you know, you can support the good ranchers, and you can turn your nose down on the ones who are just trying to make a fast buck. That's why we should be eating the food that God made for us to eat, and not going along with the culture of the times or whatever the FDA says. You know, the culture today, it's very sedentary. We don't move around much. You know, you've all seen on Facebook that cartoon where in the last 20 years the TVs have gotten thinner and the people have gotten fatter. You know, it's because we do live a sedentary lifestyle. I had 50 years ago, you go to the suburbs and you see kids riding their bicycles all over the suburbs, and you go to the suburbs now? No. Even 30 years ago, remember the movie E.T.? They're all in the handlebars and they're riding around the neighborhood on their bicycles. Kids aren't riding their bicycles anymore. They're on their little video devices or playing video games. The houses being built now have little tiny lots. You couldn't put a swing set in there if you wanted to. And mainly because it may make the house cheaper or less expensive, but also people didn't want to do the work. I don't want to do any gardening. I don't want to mow the lawn. I don't want to put up a swing set. The kids aren't out on the climbing dome. They're playing video games or watching TV. And we as adults tend to do the same things. We have in our culture of convenience, spend all our time in front of the TV, on the computer, liking things on Facebook, and our little thumbs going active and hit the remote control. And it's sad. That's part of our culture. You know, in the Bible, they didn't have running water. They didn't have all our electronic conveniences we had now. The bathroom wasn't down the hall to the left, 30 feet away, and you flush it. If you got to walk out and bury something. You wanted to talk to a neighbor, you had to get out of the tent. You had to go walk down and see the neighbor. You wanted to eat, well, you got to go out and harvest something, pick something. You had to move. And today we have very little time of moving. You know, and it's sad, but that's part of the. Culture that we live in. When we talked about being kind to cattle, the principle of taking care of your animals also includes your pets. None of you leave the cat litter filled with cat poop. You empty the cat litter. You take your dog out for a walk, not just to go poop and pee, but it's good for the dog to go out and walk. Even I had an old Cocker Spaniel. he got old after a while, but Chewy liked to go out for a walk. We'd take him out for a walk. And why? Why do you take your dog out for a walk? Well, you do it because it's good for him. It's good for the dog. He likes to go out and walk. You know, Dave talks about go stretching in the morning. Look at your dog in the morning. He goes stretching in the morning. He likes to go out for a walk. And for here, a lot of us are senior citizens. Ladies, some of you have got to take your husband out for a walk. You've kept that man on a short leash all his life. You've got to take him out for a walk and do his, no. But, you know, it's healthy. It's healthy. And if some of you can't walk, if you're in walkers, if you can't move your legs, move your arms. Can't move your arms, and move your tongue. Huh? Move your hands. Do something, but move. Use it or lose it, as they say. But try and be active in some way, in some manner, with your arms or wherever you might be. Go easy at first, maybe just a half a block. Eventually walk all around the block. Walk at the mall, walk at the park. But walk. You know, and for senior citizens, if you're a senior citizen, a lot of the HMOs, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Humana, free gym membership. You can go to any of the gyms, 24 Hour Fitness or LA Fitness or any of the other ones. They're free on your if you have a Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or Humana, or some of the other ones. And I go there 3 times a week, not because I have great character, but because I'm cheap. It's free. And also, I don't have the character to do the exercise on my own. It helps me to have the instructor. But they also, for older people, they have people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and a couple in their 90s. I mean, in my class, Dick is turning 95 this summer, and Ruby's turning 94. Dick doesn't move around as much, but he stands up and practices balancing. You know, Dave was talking about be sure you don't fall. They do exercises where you go up on your toes and down. Go up on your toes and down. Because a lot of times older people, they have dropped foot. And especially going up steps, their foot will drop and catch on the step going up, and they can fall easily. They also talk about walking. When you walk, have your thumbs going forward rather than your palms, which some older people do the palms, and they start stooping, and they get lower and lower and lower. But thumbs forward, stand up straight. They have you standing on one foot, doing different balancing exercises to strengthen. They have different exercises where you use your mind, different side of your mind, so you can be active in your brain as well. But it's free for seniors or to give instructions. So if you can, go ahead and go to the gym. It's fun with all the old folks with us. But it's just food for thought. Spend some time with another, taking a walk. I always enjoy that. Go for a walk. Talk to each other. Go for a walk alone. That's what I'm doing in the Grand Canyon. Talk to God. You know, it's nice just to move and go along. And also, the sunshine's good for you. Like I said, I don't get much in the Northwest. I don't take vitamins, except for once in a while. I'll take vitamin D3 because there's no sun up in the Northwest. But, yeah, just even 20 minutes on your bare arm of sunshine will give you your D3. But they found that people were avoiding the sun so much that cancer was going up because vitamin D3 helps you fight cancer. But they're not getting enough D3, so if help against breast cancer, prostate cancer. Don't take too much calcium and D3 because that can cause prostate cancer, but you can have your D3 level checked with a physician. Because of my family history, I had a look at the prostate cancer, and that's what I did because my dad died of it, my uncle's died of it, and is in our family. But I'll eat my two Brazil nuts to have my selenium in different foods. And usually when you eat the whole foods, the apples or blueberries or whatever, that gives you all the phytonutrients and other things that belong. And Scott Royer reminded me from last time that also a lot of times in the factory farms, the mineral content is being depleted in the soils of the food you're eating. You may buy broccoli or celery at the market, but unless they turned the crop and did a good rotation, then, you know, it may be lacking some minerals that you need, like selenium or magnesium. I had an old Adventist friend up in Battleground where I lived, and he had raised cattle. He had to add magnesium to his soil, or at calving time, the cows would have difficulty getting rid of their afterbirth. So he had to add magnesium to the soil. But a lot of the crops, if they're being forced constantly and being fed chemical fertilizers, there's some nutrients that are being lost. So it's even better to have your own garden, as far as I'm concerned. If you can grow a garden, nothing better than your vine-ripened tomatoes, your own tomatoes, and you know what's in the soil and everything. So they used to have the victory gardens during World War II. Everybody had a garden, ate their own vegetables, and that's the best thing to do. Or you can also go to farmers markets, you know, and for organic, I like to get my, this is just me personally, I like to get my sweet potatoes at Costco, organic sweet potatoes, big bag, 10-pound bag, for it's on the cheap, all organic. And potatoes are important to buy organic, because all the pesticides and the leaves go into the tuber, and so eat those. If you can, try and stay away from the russet potatoes, your regular baked potatoes you get, because those are very high in carbohydrates. Go with your Yukon Golds and Blues and other red potatoes, because your russet potatoes are very high in carbohydrate, creates a lot of sugar and what have you in you. But anyway, I think if we eat more what the apostles ate and those that we heard about in Hebrews 11 ate, I think we'd be healthier and happier. There's something else I also want to mention. We also got to use caution, because you can become the health police in a hurry, which you don't want to be. You know, you don't want to be the guy who's real quick to point out what's inside that hot dog you're about to eat. You know, do you realize the nitrites are in there? Do you realize where the parts of the cow that wiener came from? Do you realize that, you know, remember what it was like for yourself when a health nut came up to you and your hot dog's getting cold? Well, he's talking to you about all the stuff you're about to eat. If someone's overcoming a fault, you know, be gentle, be merciful, don't be judgmental. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I can't judge people who are overweight or who put on pounds, because really when I look at it, what the food industry has done and the food additives and the preservatives and the flavor enhancers to make you eat the entire bag of chips instead of just one, to eat more of the processed foods, it's all there to force us to have bad habits, and it's been impacting us. Paul gave the principle that I like to look at is about eating meat that's sacrificed to idols. And that's why, as far as what I do myself, when I come home, my mom likes to make, sometimes she'll make chicken enchiladas, sometimes she'll make other food she likes to make. I don't say, well, mom, were the corn tortillas bought at Trader Joe's where the corn is non-GMO and was the chicken organic? I said, no, I thank God for the food. I thank her for the meals are just prepared. You know, eating a hamburger, an In-N-Out burger, somebody's not going to kill you. Taking a piece of cheesecake sample at Costco is not going to kill you. God has made our bodies wonderfully to be able to handle a lot of these things. We have as long as we don't overindulge, that's why I try to eat mainly organic and eat healthy, but, you know, occasionally you're at someone's house, you're not going to make a big deal of anything. And that's what we might consider doing. Much of what happens how our body handles the food is based on the DNA anyway. What's going on inside our bodies? What has happened? To me, it's like playing the lottery, only in reverse. You buy more tickets, you lose. It's like you buy 10,000, you smoke a pack of cigarettes every day, it's like buying 10,000 lottery tickets toward death. Well, your chance of dying is going to go up. You're just playing the odds. If you're 70 pounds overweight, don't exercise, eat bad foods, fast foods, processed meats. Most university studies say your chance of living into your 80s are pretty slim. You might still do it, but, you know, not much further. Of course, then there was the 105-year-old man on Johnny Carson. You remember him? He's interviewed by Johnny Carson. He says, Johnny asked him, how'd you get to be so old? He said, well, every day I smoke a good cigar, I have a shot of whiskey, and I have some sweet cake. He said, well, let me get this straight. Every night, you smoke a good cigar, you have a shot of whiskey, and some sweet cake. He says, well, what's with a sweet cake? He said, well, she's sitting over here. Come here, sweet cake. So, no. But, you know, you can do everything. The point I'm making is you can do everything right. My wife ate healthily, and she died at 67 of cancer. Her mother made it to almost 103. She didn't eat as well. So in some ways, it can be what they call a crapshoot. It is the lottery. There's a chance something can happen. Things happen to good people. And And it's sad, but we can do as much as we can, because really the principle we're looking at is the same principle about smoking. We don't smoke. Most of us are not smokers. The Bible does not say thou shalt not smoke. But the principle we use is the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you want to take care of your body. The same thing is true with the food we eat. Hostess ding-dongs and a bunch of hamburger helper and filling ourselves with Diet Cokes. You might as well be smoking a pack of cigarettes. Eating your processed meats. In fact, they're talking about putting warning labels on the processed meats now because they realize the linking between cancer and the processed meats. So you got to be careful with what we eat. But the cattle and poultry industries are using unhealthy processes. One thing that we can do is look at what God intended for us to eat, honor Him in our bodies, and there are more stores besides Whole Foods and Trader Joe's that are selling organics. You can go to Costco. You can go to grocery outlet. I like going there. There are places in farmers markets and growing your own. You can have organic foods and eat them, and probably will live longer. Maybe you get a chance to see your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and live a little longer, a better quality of life. And so let's try to eat more healthily. Let's try not to say if you can't do it all the time, do your best. If you go cold turkey and get off processed foods completely and go organic, don't be surprised if you lose 30, 40, or 50 pounds. And it's like you're no longer be carrying around two or three bowling balls for the rest of your life. And you lose the craving for sugar and ice cream in the evening. There are things that are going to happen to you that your body is saying, yes, yes, feed me what I really want, what God created. And that's the principle, honoring God through our bodies. And thankfully that hopefully we'll all be a little slimmer. I will be. But I sure wish you well and a happy life and a healthy life.